Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I want to reiterate and rephrase this text and theme. One to one and all for one. One to one and all for one. Each time we come here to look into this prayer of Christ, it just envelops us with understanding that the Lord Jesus was very intentional about his desire and his will for us in this world. We should always be consider the fact, particularly here, that as the Lord Jesus is praying, that he is not only praying for the disciples, but he's praying for us. Amen. We didn't live 2,000 years ago in this world. But when Christ was interceding for the disciples, he was praying for you. And the interesting part about it is he was praying for you before you knew him. That should help us with our prayer life. Amen. We are responsible to pray for the world. We are responsible, certainly, to pray for our communities. But we are really responsible to pray for our families. And the Lord Jesus, when he lets us in on his prayer, he is sure to not be vague about the direction of his intercession. As he talks to the Father, he brings in and includes us not only in the prayer, but also in the promises. Amen. Amen. You know that there's no tear in the body of Christ. Amen. What do you mean by tear? I don't mean T-E-A-R. I mean tear, T-I-E-R. I mean there's no levels in terms of people being saved. Amen. Everybody is saved as much as anybody else. Amen. I got to say that again. Amen. Amen. Nobody is more saved than anybody. I say it one more time because I didn't get some. Some people are still trying to process that. You don't get saved and get tenure. Amen. The moment you got saved, you were saved for good. Amen. And anybody who come after you, they're saved for good too. And what you ought to say is good for them. Amen. But when he prayed here, what he does in we don't have the wherewithal, saints, to really bring our minds back. And I try to, when I look at the scriptures and even teach or share the word of God and remind myself that when I look in here, I've gotten this Bible, this word from God, these 66 books, as we call them, compilating the amount. But I got this, and he's not giving us any more books. Amen. Amen. He's not giving, ain't no sense in, we got all the Bible, and then we got all the study Bibles we need. Amen. Amen. But what I'm saying is that there was a time when we didn't have all of this. And why do I say this? Because I caution myself that when I look at the scriptures, that I look into it in real time. In other words, when the Lord Jesus is praying, there is no Apostle Paul. There's no Barnabas. There's no Timothy. You know, there's none of that right now. Because historically, the Lord Jesus had not even gone to the cross yet. And yet, when he prays and as he prays as if he's been there already. Yes, sir. Because when he talks to the Father, he is assured and sure and certain that whatever he says is a done deal. And that being said, he is inclusive in his prayers of all those who would come to him. And not only are he inclusive, but he's including in this everyone, and watch it now, because God is the one who does the saving. Amen. Ain't that right? And he doesn't need anybody to save anybody. Amen. But he uses people as vehicles to bring people unto himself. Amen. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? So when he prays here, as Christ prays to the Father and talks to the Father, he lets us in on something that even though God is the Savior, even though Christ is the Savior of the world, the Father sent the Son, we still have a responsibility. Amen. I thought the missionary just came home and you can't say amen and what I'm saying. We have a responsibility. Amen. Amen. My responsibility is not to show up to church. That's an aside. Showing up to church is an amenity. It's not the course. Yeah, amen, amen. When by the time we get here, we're in here to worship God. Amen. We come to bless the Lord. Amen. We come to lift him up. Amen. We come to give him thanks. Amen. And we do all that after we have already through the week and told somebody about Jesus. Amen. Amen. I really don't come to church. Now we have to because of the days. We're in the last days. We don't know who's coming to church. Amen. There is no spiritual radar at the door. But Jesus knows, and God the Father knows, and the Holy Ghost knows, and everybody else is guessing. So when we get to the house of God, we're here to worship him. Our gathering and corporately as believers is to bless God. We are not here to dumb down worship. We're here to praise the Lord. This is our time. Amen. And we know that's why we're still preaching the gospel, because people come in who don't know Jesus, and we want them to know the same Savior that we know. But my thing is this, we need to be telling somebody before we get here, so that by the time they get here, we have already planted. Amen. Ain't that right? We watered, and then when they get here, God can give the increase. So it's a means to an end. So Christ is praying here in the Gospel of John. He's praying to the Father. And as we have been going through this and back and over this, and we see here how he begins to speak, and he begins to dissect again the relationship. And there's only just two. You either of God or you are the world. Amen. Amen. There's nobody's in between. Nobody's half saved. Nobody half saved. Ain't no such thing. Either you're saved or you're not. Either unrighteous or you're righteous. Either in light or you're in darkness. Either know Jesus or you don't. You're either of the world or you're of God. There's no in between. Amen. None of that half stuff in there. And so when Christ prays, watch it now. He prays for those who are consecrated and those who are candidates.
Yes,
sir. Am I moving too fast? He prays for those who are consecrated. I mean, those disciples at the moment of his praying who have already set aside and set apart. Yeah. We still know that they still need to wait for Pentecost, yeah, when the Holy Ghost comes for the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit. However, there are others who are candidates, those who shall be the recipients of the gospel, who shall join these disciples in the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't use that expression. That's a Pauline expression, the body of Christ. And Peter calls us living temples and lively stones. But here, Christ used the expression, the flock. Amen. Amen. Because he's the good shepherd.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
He's the good shepherd.
Yes, sir.
He's the great shepherd. Yes. He's the one who gave his life, yes, for the sheep.
Yes.
And so he's praying here to the Father concerning what his expectation, anticipation is for those not only who are here now, but who are under the sound of his voice, but those later on who shall come. Are y'all with me here? Because the Father gave the Son something to say to the disciple. And let me say this too again, and I want to be clear so there's no distinction or misunderstanding, that the Father and the Son spoke before he got here. Amen. That's right. Jesus wasn't listening to a tape recorder. The Father and the Son spoke before he came to earth, and he was still speaking to him as he ministered. So there is a word that the Father gave to the Son. And it wasn't just a verses. It wasn't just doctrinal, meaning just some text of doctrine and scripture. It was a spoken, living, on-time word that he gave to the Son to give to the disciple. So as Christ taught, sometimes you hear him say that he spoke as one with authority. He quoted the Old Testament because that's all they had at the time. Jesus didn't have a New Testament. Amen. He didn't have the books. He didn't have even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as books when he spoke. He came under the law, but he was still the Son of God. And he had an on-time eternal word from the Father as he spoke into the lives of the disciples. And as he did that, he prepared them for when he was going to go away. The Holy Ghost was going to come later on to revive in their thinking and remind them in their mind what Jesus taught them. But at this point, he's praying. He's praying for them, and he's praying for you. Watch it now. He's praying for you if you are one with them. I'm going to explain that again. I said there are candidates. There are those who are already in, and there are those who shall come. So Jesus is praying for them, and he talks to them about the desire he has on their behalf as he petitions the Father, knowing full well that the Father will give him whatever it is that he asks for. There's nothing that the Son requests that the Father will deny. Can I say that again? There's nothing that the Son requests that the Father will deny. So as he prays for them, he's looking with certainty not only about his going home, but those who shall follow him through the word of God and the gospel. And so he says here in chapter 17, verse 18, he says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Christ says, listen, there is a chain, and there's a chain of transition that the Lord Jesus came from heaven into this world. And once he's come here and has poured out or picked out of the world those initial disciples, he says, "Not only have you sent me, Father, but also I will also send them into the world." The same world that I came in on and intruded and interrupted and interceded for, they too also will be sent by me to go out into the world. But wait a minute, it's just not them. He says in verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word."
Yes, sir.
Neither I pray for them alone, but I'm also, watch it now, I'm also right now while I'm talking to you, Father, I'm praying prospectively for others who shall hear what I told them, and they shall tell them, and when they tell them and they come to me, we're all going to be one together.
Amen.
Don't be fooled. I said it before, I don't have no problem per se with denominations. False religions, yes, because a false religion, people don't believe in Jesus, that's not a denomination. They just don't believe. But then we as Christians, we have denominations, and we all have our little preferences, sometimes even preferences in doctrine and theology. But let me say this to you, that no matter what denomination you're in, if you don't believe in Jesus, that does you no good.
Amen.
If you have not put your faith in Christ, that does not elevate you to any status with God.
Amen.
Even if you're saved, that does not give you any elevation of grace. If you put your faith in Christ, you belong to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And one day, there's going to be one denomination. That's right, one denomination. I said, one day there's going to be one denomination in heaven. Guess what it's going to be? God the Father, Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ. That's the name of it. That's going to be the name of it. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the name of it. And all of us are going to be members. Now, you know why I said? Because we don't act like that on earth. No, we don't act like that on earth. We don't act like that we're one. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we'd really be in trouble.
Yes, sir.
But Paul said, amen, Paul said, we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What that means is that once you come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit joins us together, bound by his work, baptized into the body of Christ. Not the water and not a double dip either. No, once you put your faith in Jesus, we are all joined in him by the Holy Ghost. The body of Christ is not Christ sitting on the throne in heaven. It's all believers who are together here on earth. Amen. But there is also the outworking and camaraderie we should have, since that's the truth. That's what we got to work at. You can't get out of the body of Christ, but you can also, but you can cause some problems.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why this prayer is so essential, because he knows how we are.
Yes,
he knows what we are. He knows what we do. He knows how we act. We know how we act without him. So guess what? He prayed for us ahead of time that we would be what we should be, even though we don't always work at it. Are you with me here? It's a shame. Some of us, my God, if it were left up for some of us would, some parts of us would not even be in heaven. But again, I'm glad it ain't left up to you.
Amen.
It's left up to Jesus. Y'all ain't listening to me. I guess you waiting to see what I'm going to say next, but I'm just trying to get you to understand. He prayed for us.
Yeah.
His ultimate prayer for us here and when we get there, that we might be one.
Yes, sir.
We might be one. One how? One in terms of what you, because God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're one in triunity. They're together. And we are supposed to mirror what they are on earth, what they are in heaven. They get along. Oh yeah, they get along. Matter of fact, how I know they get along? Because we saved. If the Son didn't agree with the Father, there would be no salvation. If the Holy Ghost didn't agree with the Son, you would not have been joined to the Son. They all get along. They work together. It took all three of them for us to get saved. That's how much trouble we were. The Father chose us, the Son redeemed us, and the Holy Ghost came down and sealed us.
Yes,
then when the Spirit of God, when we pray, he takes our prayers to the Son, and the Son gives them to the Father. The Father speaks to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God blesses us and makes application.
Yes.